You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
Well, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We got a great conversation today with an serial entrepreneurial. It's a startup company in Scottsdale, Arizona. This is a tech strategy expert, Jason Jung, the CEO of PointerTop. So welcome, Jason.
Hi, Will. Thank you.
You've been on the 405, haven't you?
Yes, I have, actually.
That's right. Well, we do a lot of running around the 405, and this is about talking about what we found out there. So tell us a little bit about your latest entrepreneurial startup, PointerTop.
Yeah, of course. It's my pleasure. Yeah, so this is a company that's been around for a while. We started 5 years ago, and it was seeded as an idea that came from the last company I was at. It was created at that company and spun off. And what we started with was companies like this usually start with a frustration, right? With a problem that you've encountered. And the problem that we were having is we were trying to sell online using our agents. We had what we call a high touch company, one that involved agents to sell our products and services. And we wanted to do that online in order to save on brick and mortar expenses and take advantage of all the technology that you can find through a website. And we really weren't able to find very much. Other than chat, you weren't really able to sell online using your agents. And so, after quite a bit of research, we wound up having to invent our own. We created a platform, we call it CrosTop. Had it patented about 2 years ago. And the whole point of it is to allow people to allow companies to welcome their web visitors to their websites, just like they would when they're visiting, their offices, talk to them as if they were face-to-face and sell to them and provide customer service directly through their websites. So trying to use the productivity, the technology that's available today, but use it remotely. Right? Use it virtually.
Well, all right. So tell me a little bit about what that would look like. I'm coming onto a website. Is this like Funniest Home Videos? Delivery man comes up and then the something starts moving around and scares him away?
Actually, that's pretty funny. I might have to incorporate that. when you're up to the website, there are agents that are manning it, and they're able to see that there's people visiting the website, browsing the website. From there, the user can generate a call, a call button or a call link, and that will generate a call directly to the agent through the website, just like it's the same technology as web conferencing. So now you're basically web conferencing with that agent directly through the website. That agent answers, "Hey, welcome to my website. How can I help you?" And from that point forward, you can engage video. So you can do a video call through the website. And what's different here about our technology, and it's a paradigm shift, is that it's no longer a user self-navigated experience. It's now an agent-navigated experience. So you know that when you go to buy something, the agent is the one that leads the sales conversation. Right? They're the ones that ask you questions and take out the brochures and show you stuff, because that's what a sales call should be. So in our case, with our platform, that's exactly how the experience is made up. The agent is able to select content from within their portal, be it videos or brochures or quotes or contracts, and send those to the customer on the website directly to the browser that they're looking at, creating a dynamic page, replacing whatever website they're looking at, so that in that instant, they're able to see and share, again, that video or that questionnaire or whatever it is. From that point forward, the agent is always the one that is sending information to the user in assistance of that sales experience or that customer service experience. It's a different way to use a website. And it really talks to the fact that people, there's a lot of people out there that prefer to have their hand held. They prefer to talk to people. They don't want to do things themselves. They don't want to deal with IVRs. What they want is they want someone.
IVR. IVR.
Oh, I'm sorry. The automated phone systems. When you call a phone and it's a robotic voice and you never seem to get a hold of anybody. There's a lot of people, they don't like that. They don't like that. They don't like self-navigating websites. They want to deal with someone. They're a people, right? They're people. And websites are missing that. Websites right now are designed just for those people that like to do things themselves. And we're missing that whole demographic. And so with this technology, those people will now be able to deal with sales agents and will be able to, you know, basically get assisted the way that they expect to offline.
Well, is this something like walking into a retail store and the clerk comes up or the salesman comes up and says, have you ever been here before? Something like that?
So it's exactly like that. So once you're in the website, the agent is able to see that you're there. They will usually send you like a chat message, because if they call you, they might kind of surprise you. Because people aren't used to going to a website and have a call come in through the website. So they have the ability to call you, but usually what they'll do is they'll just send you a little chat message. Hey, you know, I'm here if you need me, let me know. Button away from a phone conversation. And then from that point forward, it's, you know, the agent is able to interact with a customer through either traditional chat means or new means, such as, you know, in web phone conversation or video conversation.
I'm thinking of a couple examples. One would be, I'm walking into a clothing store. So I'm going on a LL Bean, right?
Right.
Coming up to LL Bean. LL Bean has a pointer top, and I'm looking for a pair of pants.
Right.
It seems to me, I mean, what I'm imagining is that the LL Bean salesperson could say, oh, well, let me show you, and takes over and begins to show me, maybe in the catalog, maybe he's got samples, but somehow he is demonstrating to me as he would if I were in the LL Bean store in Albany, New York.
That's exactly right. That's a really good example. Like, if you were to shop LLBean.com versus Macy's.com versus Nordstrom.com, if the prices are the same and the products are the same, there's no difference. There is no differentiation online because there's no service differentiation. There might be a little bit of differentiation in terms of different colors.
LL Bean's cool because they're from Maine.
Different. Okay. Yeah. I'm not too familiar with them, but you know, in general though, online, there really isn't that much difference if you're selling the same products. Now in the real world, right? Nordstrom's is very different from Macy's. Nordstrom has its Nordy way. It's a different type of customer service. And I'm sure that LL Bean has a different type of customer service, but you don't know that by visiting their website. With Crosstop, you will. Why? Because now you're able to talk to someone through the website. So for example, you know, Nordstrom, they're known for having people that will help you purchase, that will help create ensembles for you. If Nordstrom had Crosstop and you went to the website, you'd be able to tell them, hey, I'm going to a wedding and I need, you know, this kind of a suit, this color. And the agent might be able to put an ensemble together for you, show it to you, you know, either by sending you the actual articles of clothing or showing you a video or turning on the camera and then booking an appointment for you to come in and try it out. That's a very different experience to someone that doesn't have Crosstop, because now you have the service portion in it. And in retail, service is a big part of it, right? Service is a very big part of the retail experience.
Well, so let me give another example. Let's suppose that I am I'm not that familiar with repairing my bathroom. And what I would do is I would drive from here to Home Depot and I would take the pieces in and I would say, what do I need to do here?
Right.
Now, I'm imagining that I could get onto the home, if Home Depot had pointer top, I could get onto the site. Now, I would be able to say, here are the parts that I've got right here. What is this and how do you have anything to replace it, right?
Yeah, actually, that's a great point. Exactly. So with Crosstop, you now would be able to get right on their website if they had Crosstop. You'd be able to engage an agent. And from that point forward, you'd be able to share your camera so you could show them what you have. The agent would be able, if he has a how-to video, would be able to send you that how-to video so that you can repair whatever it is that you need to repair and then exit. And so what would typically be a really long phone conversation where someone, where a customer support agent is trying to explain to you how something looks and how something works and how you can fix it, now they can just simply send you the video that they have in their library, and immediately you're able to see it and repair it on your own, and they can hang up, and that 40-minute conversation is now basically a 10-minute expert conversation. So yeah, that's exactly right. There's a lot of benefits to it, you know, and one of them is saving on labor, saving on call center support because of the fact that you have all this video.
Well, if now I'm assuming that any time that you would use video would be at least as good as Zoom, right?
Right. The exact same technology. We are using the same technology as web conferencing.
So I would be able then to, if I had a part, I would be able to use my phone to connect it to share my phone screen, take a picture of and show the part in great detail. So help me to figure out how to repair this, ship it where, how can I get it directly from you? Do I have to go pick it up? But that kind of conversation, given what we are learning right now, sounds to me to be very, very helpful, because we're either in a lockdown and not leaving the house, or our mental picture is, oh, it's just easier to, I don't have to drive down there.
Right.
It's easier to, if I knew that I could get on a website and be able to talk to somebody who could help me, that would be very different.
We consider this to be a revolutionary tool for a couple of reasons. And you know, we did wind up getting our patent 2 years ago. The big thing is, you know, the immediacy of that help, right? Because it wouldn't make any sense for you to do this using web conferencing, that if you wanted help, that you would go on a website, fill out an email form to book an appointment to get a web conference.
That's such a waste. That is such a pain.
It's the immediacy that is absolutely important. And so now the question is, you know, would Home Depot want to do that as part of their sales service, or is it something that they would sell separately? Like maybe they have a special crosstop support that you pay, you know, $15 a month, and you get to have an expert, get access to experts through their website that help you through your home construction and repair projects. Who knows? There's so much that can be done in the future with this, because it's such a different experience that we're just basically just starting to tap the potential.
All right, so help me with this. I can understand L.L. Bean, Macy's, Home Depot, national companies, maybe even regional companies that are large enough to have somebody sit there and wait for somebody to come to the website.
Right.
Right? They're there. I just got off as a brand new thing called Seamless AI that I'm excited about, because it's real-time searches of the internet for contact information. Right? Not like Zoom Info, which is a static database, but this is live. Well, I'm working on it. I got a question about it. Go over to the help button, and up comes a bot chat. Right. I said, okay, so, you know, let's see how far. So it's like three or four different levels to get down. And then it says, have we answered your question? No. Would you like a representative? Yes. Right. And then 5 minutes later, it pops up and says, nobody's available right now.
Right.
Now, that is not a good customer experience.
No. So, and that's the problem with technologies such as the chatbots and the IVR, which is the answering systems for phones, is that it's a race to the bottom, right? Mm-hmm. Because what they allow you to do is they allow you to save on labor, right? On the call center labor, on the technician, on the technical labor, on the support labor. Because you're trying to get the chatbots and the IVRs to do as much as once one company does it and they save money and they can shave a couple of pennies off their price, then everybody else has to do it. So it's a race to the bottom. But the big problem is that what is the message that they're sending the customers? The message you're sending them is that your time is not important, right? Mm-hmm. You're now going to have to spend those 10 minutes to go search, go filter, figure out, find, because we're not going to do it for you. You're going to do it for yourself. And the other part of it is that it's not a bonding experience. Human beings are social animals. We derive meaning from social interaction, right? That's why we're here on Earth, is to basically interact. When you take that out of the equation with your company, you're no longer bonding with your customers. You're no longer allowing them to derive meaning by interacting with your company. You're making it more transactional. And so more of a race to commoditization when you're adding more of these automated systems and these AI.
All right. I'm sold. I'm sold on the whole idea. Yeah, I got the concept. But now, most of the companies in America are small companies.
Right.
All right. And when I think about the companies that I work with, they do not have the ability for somebody to sit there and wait. So do you have a technology that alerts somebody that how do you handle that if you don't have a dedicated person sitting waiting for somebody to come to the website and request a meeting?
Right. So we have two things for that. The first one is we do integrate a chatbot as part of the platform so that it can begin the questions and the filtering, all that. And then when an agent becomes available, they can take over the session. We do offer that. Or if it's a small business and the agent isn't available, then the chatbot can continue the conversation, get information, email it to the agent so they can reply later. Obviously, that's not the best case scenario, but that is available in those cases where the agent isn't available. The second situation is what we see that's going to happen is we do offer receptionist service for small businesses. Oh. So you can't man your website, and most small businesses won't be able to. We have a receptionist service where someone will man it for you, and they'll be able to qualify your customers with questionnaires that are, you know, adept to that person that is to that demographic that is visiting you. They'll be able to send information. They'll be able to receive files. They'll be able to book an appointment for you. You know, all the stuff the receptionist can do, and in that sense, also begin to bond with that customer, right? Because you're actually having a conversation with someone on the other side. You're putting a voice and maybe a face to the company. So we do offer those services. To be honest with you, that's not the business that we want to be in the future. We offer it because we have so much demand for it. But we see call centers taking this over, right? The professional call centers in the future will offer web center receptionists. And that'll be something that they can offer small businesses, you know, in a package. I mean, it's already talking to call centers to try to create those packages for small business where they can get cross-stop and a receptionist at the same time.
All right. So let me ask another question about technology. I noticed that there's a lot of groups that are moving from individual websites to a website, and each local entity has a sub-site.
Right.
They have a site-let. All right. Now, can the local person with his sitelet use your technology?
Yeah, so we have an enterprise version of Crosstalk, and it has a couple of things. The first one is it has ability to do session transfers. So if someone comes in and they will reach the sales department, but they want the customer support department, sales can transfer to customer support. That's one part. The second part, which is the one that you're talking to, is we call them marketplaces, but it's basically, it allows for a company to have multiple different Crosstalk platforms on web and website so that if someone comes in and it's maybe specific to, let's say, a zip code, a geography, you can ask the user to put in what zip code they're in, and then it can transfer that session to the right agent depending on where they are in the country. Or vice versa, you can have your one Crosstalk portal, and you can have it in multiple different websites and multiple different landing pages and subsites. So it's just a matter of taking your widget of code and putting it in the page that you want it to work. So we do offer that in those cases where, yeah, you have those big companies and they have multiple online properties.
So where are you in the in your technology development plan? Are you 100% ready to go? Are you developing it? Do you have beta tests? Where are you?
We're 100% ready to go. We've been selling this since last year. It has taken us 5 years to develop this, and most of that has been in alpha testing. Just because since it's such a brand new way of dealing and operating online, we really needed a lot of feedback. We had a lot of pivots from alpha customers that were, nope, this doesn't work, and this does, and I'd rather if you did this. And so that's why it's taken us this long to get here. But we are extremely happy with where we are right now. Our customers, our clients love it. The feedback has been great. You know, it's one of those wow moments for their online visitors, where it's like they're on a website and all of a sudden they're talking to someone straight to the website, and you know, they forgot to sign something, and all of a sudden the contract pops up on their screen and they're signing it. And within 3 minutes, it's like they took care of something that before was a 20-minute conversation with emails and junk mail folders and all this stuff. It's a huge wow experience for our clients. And so, yeah, no, we're very happy, but like it's taken a lot of work to get us here.
Good. So what have been some of the struggles that you've seen along the way, the last 5 years? What have been some, tell me some stories about struggles that you had that you overcame.
It was one of the first iterations that we had. We weren't going to add the phone in it. We didn't think it was important. The way that people would interact was mostly by chatting and then just sharing the content. But, you know, it's the experience that we had with one of our alpha customers. There were telecommunications companies that 80% of their customers or their consumers were using cell phones. And that's the case for most online transactions nowadays. It's mostly done through cell phones. A small minority is actually through PCs. And chatting through a cell phone is very obnoxious, right? Because it's not fast compared to kind of typing on a computer. 90% of their interactions, the consumer would say, can I just call you or can you call me? Because if they would just get so annoyed by having right. to type and type and type through what was typically a 40-minute sales conversation for them. So, you know, very quickly we realized we have to integrate the phone into this. You know, the chat feature is great for quick questions, for quick support questions, but it is not doable for a sales conversation.
All right. So how did you make that pivot? Was that a struggle? Was that three people come and say, we need this and you do it? How did you make that decision?
Well, you know, it's luckily for us, I mean, it's a startup, so it's a very small company. It's just basically, you know, when it comes to larger pivots, it's a matter of, yeah, you get the board of directors together and you present your ideas. And if you have to do a big pivot, then it's a matter of getting them to buy into the process and buy into the change. But again, you know, with a small company, we're talking about a three-member board of directors. You can convene pretty quickly and make those decisions. The smaller ones, you know, that's just something that I can do myself, make an executive decision and move forward to it. But really, it's when it comes to something like this, which is a new experience for both the client and the consumer, we are always constantly seeking feedback from both. Questioning, mm-hmm. surveys from our clients and from the consumers that are, you know, the web visitors that are using the technology to figure out kind of what tweaks we need to make this more useful, more effective. You know, I have an example. We have a motorcycle dealership as a client. And during the pandemic, they had to close their showroom for a couple of months. And then, of course, you know, they were desperate. I mean, it's for them to close a showroom. That's a huge problem. What they wanted to do is to maintain an agent inside the showroom. The showroom was closed, but maintain an agent inside the showroom so that they could show the inventory that they had. Mm-hmm. We didn't have video. Again, I didn't think that video, none of us thought that video would be a good introduction into this, because who wants to see an agent, right? Who wants to see their phone agent? So we didn't want to integrate video, but then, you know, that dealer was like, hey, listen, I need to show my showroom. And the best way to do is you integrate a video call, you know, video into the call. So this was very quickly got together, talked to the developers, rushed this through, and had it out the door for this dealer who was in big pain at the moment. And we're able to do it very quickly. And he was just ecstatic that even though his showroom was closed, it was still open, you know, for cloud business.
Well, and you could, you know, share the screen with your phone and walk around showing them with, right? And I mean, to me, that's the real breaker. I mean, that's the wonderful thing. That's where you're making huge steps, because now we have the showroom online.
Right.
And not just a video of it that's there on demand, but you have the opportunity for that salesperson to walk up and say, what do you want? How right. can I help you? Have you been here before? What would you like to see? You must right. be looking for something. And it's the same thing as walking into this, or it can become the same thing as walking into the store.
Exactly. You know, sometimes people ask me, well, why isn't this around? I mean, why? How could this be new? Why hasn't it been around for the last 10 years, right? It seems so obvious. And the reason is because You know, tech companies never ask the small businesses what they want, because that's not right. who they look for, right? They're right. always looking to sell to the big businesses. And the big businesses are happy with the way things are. They don't want big transformations, right? They just want little transformations where they can save a little bit more money and capture or give a little bit more value. But it's right, the right. small businesses that need to stand out using their customer service, because that's the only way they can, right? I mean, not the only
way. And who is it that's been under the biggest impact in the pandemic? Right. Small businesses. I mean, the big businesses, I saw something from Robert Reich yesterday that said the major, companies and wealthy individuals, they have the potential to give $3,300 to every person in the United States only on the increase in wealth in the past 20 months. It was enormous. They're doing fine. But the small businesses, if you shut the doors, they're gone.
Yeah.
But with this technology, if this had been in place, they could be there waiting. Now, is there a way to get a notification to a text that somebody's on my website? Do you provide that?
When the agent is on the portal, you know, he doesn't have to sit there staring at the screen. He can just log in using his browser, minimize it, and when someone arrives at the website or tries to call in or requests information, then you get the computer will send you a little notification as well as, give you a little ring-a-ding to let you know. So you don't have to be staring at it the whole time. You can just kind of minimize it and go back to work. And then when someone comes in, you know, just kind of like when someone walks into your store and they open the door, there's a bell that goes off. It's exactly the same thing.
Could somebody use this from their cell phone? Could the agent use it on a cell phone?
Right now, we don't have the ability for them to use it on the cell phone because the content behind it is so, there's just so much of it. I mean, we have 7 different tools, storyboards. There's a lot behind the portal that you can't fit into a cell phone screen, number one. Number two, it's very important that the customer experience be as high quality as possible.
Right,
so we don't want to risk an agent being in an area where they get poor service and all of a sudden your conversation with your customer degrades, right? And you leave a bad taste in their mouth. So currently we don't have a cell phone application for it. It is something that isn't under our radar to look at in the future to maybe develop for small businesses and whatnot, especially.
Get a notification on the cell phone.
Yeah, to get notification and to have maybe a more minimal version of the agent portal, maybe not access to all the tools and all the different features, but maybe like a small amount of tools and features through your cell phone that you can still take care of, you know, the sessions and the visitors that come to your website. So that is something that's it's on our radar. It's not there right now. Right now we're just, you know, our big concern right now is to make sure that people understand that this, it's a quality experience. You know, when you're talking to someone through the website, it sounds great. It looks great. You know, we're focused on that piece first.
And I presume that you would be able to, if you're going to use your agents, your call center, what you're using, that you would be able to say, if I'm not logged in, it automatically goes to the call center. But if I am logged in, then I would take the contact.
Yeah, exactly. It's all the agents that are able to see, anyone who's logged into the system can see the people that are browsing or requesting information and take it. And it's just a first come, first serve.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, tell me now you are a startup and startups always are looking for funding. So tell me about your funding road. What's that been like?
Yeah. So for the last 5 years, this was a spinoff of a previous company that I was a head of. And, you know, we've been funded basically privately through that company. Finally, we decided that we kind of had to do a more formal separation, and we wound up raising our seed fund. We're raising our seed fund right now through WeFunder, WeFunder.com. It's via equity crowdfunding. So, you know, I didn't know that this was possible. It's a new law that allows people, that allows anyone that wants to invest in startups. You know, you go to a platform such as WeFunder. And
you don't have to be a qualified investor.
You don't have to be an accredited investor anymore. Anybody can invest in startups. And this has only been around for 3 or 4 years since the Jobs Act was passed. And yeah, with as little as $100, you can invest in any moonshot startup that you want. You just visit these websites and look around, and you can put $100 here, $100 there. It's an amazing technology. And it's hard to believe that this law took so long to pass. That the small investors were kind of left out in the lurch when it came to investing in these great technology companies. But the opportunity is there. And so we grabbed it. We're on wefunder.com/pointertop. Anybody who wants to can invest anywhere in the world. So, we have investors that are in Mexico. We have investors in the US. We have investors, I think we have some in Australia. We have some from Indonesia. It's incredible. It's like anywhere in the world, people can invest in your company now. It's amazing.
Wow. Wow. Looks like you got $65,000, $788 raised so far, huh?
Yeah. So this is our first seed round. We're kind of testing the waters with equity crowdfunding since we've never done it before. We want to see how it works. It's we already reached our first milestone, which was 50,000. Uh-huh. And once we get to 250, we'll close it out. So, and then you can set these kind of milestones where you can give people preferential treatment for being first. And so for the first 75,000 that comes in, they get a preferential treatment, they get a better valuation. So we're pretty close to getting to that. Not there quite yet. So it's still a great opportunity. It's always going to be a great opportunity. But yeah, no, it's very exciting. It's great to see people that, you've never met, who go to your website, look at what you're doing, think it's great. They leave you great reviews, and they invest in your idea. It's an incredibly satisfactory feeling.
It looks like that. The WeFunder site is very interesting. I mean, it's got lead investor talks about it, tells how much he invested. That's really amazing. I knew this was coming. I kind of took my eye off the ball, because this whole notion of raising funds for various social efforts has been there, and also for startups, new ideas. But right. The whole notion of being able to invest in micro investments—that's just amazing. Really good.
Yeah, this is true capitalism, right? Where you go out, you pitch your idea, and anyone can invest in it, and it's the strength of the idea that's going to matter. Because before this, it's like if you wanted to raise money, you had to go to a very small circle of investors, right? And who tended to kind of set the terms that they wanted to, and it was very difficult, and it's kind of a path tread by everybody else. With this, it's like everyone sets their own path and anyone can join you. It's really an incredible technology.
And it's a global, that's true of anything. Once you're on the internet, you immediately go from very, very local to global.
Right. And it's global. Yeah. Which I was surprised at. I didn't know that. I wasn't too familiar with the Jobs Act. I knew of it, but I didn't know the details. But yeah, it's a global thing. Anybody can invest in your company.
Well, what I'm finding true is churches that have gone online because they couldn't be face to face, have discovered that there's lots of people coming from all over the country, all over the world, to their Sunday morning services online. And at first, it was like an interesting sidelight. But there are many who are discovering this is our world now. This is our congregation.
Yeah. It's a very scary scenario, too, because the world of laws is still mired borders, right? In very strong borders and border protection. And so as a company, when you go online, it's scary because if you happen to get customers that are outside of your country or people that are interested in, you have to be very careful because you don't want to go, you don't want to cross any lines or any rules or any laws that would apply in the country that they're from versus the one that you're from, right? And so even though the cloud and the online world gives you the opportunity to interact with anybody anywhere in the world, the offline world still, you still got to be aware of it, because it's, you don't know exactly what the rules are everywhere that you go.
Well, tell us about your experience with your target market area right now.
Right now we're in two countries, we're in the United States and in Mexico in terms of selling. In the US, we've been focusing on small businesses to kind of prove the concept It's much faster to sell into small businesses here. And we've gotten a great reception here. In Mexico, we are also there, but we're going after larger businesses. We have a more formalized sales structure there. And it's, you know, again, we've only been doing this since last year, sales-wise. So we're still very early revenue in that sense. But it's so far, we've gotten a lot of great feedback from big businesses in Mexico. They're very much open to new ideas and technologies. Whereas here, we've met a lot of, it's been more difficult for us here to get access to the small, to the big businesses. It seems like we have to go through more hierarchies and jump through more circles and more hoops. There it's been, we've noticed that businesses have been a lot more receptive to listening to new ideas. It's been a great experience though. Either way, it's like just the feedback has been so invaluable for us.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, what would you say to people who had a great idea like this and were starting off? What advice would you give them?
A lot of the things that people told me when I was, you know, first starting out with my first businesses, they still apply, which is you have to test out your ideas, but don't listen to the naysayers, right? You have to make sure that your idea has merit by going out to the market and testing it with customers. But then when it comes to actually implementing it and working on it and getting investors, you have to make sure that you feel confident in it yourself so that you can ignore the naysayers and keep pushing forward. And there's going to be a lot of naysayers. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to tell you that your idea doesn't have merit, that it's going to be too difficult, that you don't have enough money, that you don't have this, you don't have that. And it's going to be overwhelming sometimes. I mean, it's you know, the world puts up a lot of roadblocks for entrepreneurs. You really have to be willing to work long hours for a long time. So it's something that you have to know that you're going to, that you really want to do and you're willing to put a long time in it. Typically for startups, you know, it's the initial trajectory, you know, that when you see the revenues for companies that are established, you see that hockey stick, right? And it seems pretty uniform and it's, you know, it's like a nice little kind of curved line, but that's not the way it is really for startups. For startups, you have huge ups, huge downs, sideways, backwards. It's like the early revenue that comes in is extremely volatile and you have to be prepared for that. It's a very bumpy road. And so I'd say, you know, it's like, make sure that you have the support to keep going, pushing and pushing.
Good. Now, if someone were interested in seeing this, I suppose they could go to your site and simply use the technology that's there, right?
Yeah. So if you go to our site, pointertop.com, we describe it there. We've got kind of some videos, some demo videos and commercials on there. You're able to order it directly online, but you can meet someone using Crosstop. Of course, we consume our own products. So if you go to pointertop.com, there is going to be an agent there manning our website who you'll be able to talk to and immediately jump into, you know, a demo really using the technology. But yeah, it's probably the easiest way is just to go on our website and check it out that way.
So what's the difference between VozTop and Crosstop?
So Crosstop is a technology I've been talking about, that the platform. Mm-hmm. VozTop is a unified communications platform that we sell. And so this has been around for a while. It's basically a unified communication just means that you integrate your phone with your fax, with your web conference, with your chatting into one application. And so we sell a unified communication system that integrates all that. And the reason we sell it is because it's complementary to Crosstop. You know, so we basically sell the whole customer communication solution. Whether you want to talk through your website or you want to talk through your phone or you want to chat, you want a web conference, we can sell you all that in one big solution.
Good. Good, good. Well, this has been very interesting, Jason. Very exciting. So I assume somebody could go to pointertop.com and get with an agent. If they wanted to talk to you, and if they wanted to invest, they could go to?
WeFunder.com/pointertop.
And if they wanted to talk to you, would you take the call?
Yes, of course. I'm always willing to talk to anyone that's interested in our technology. I always love to talk to people.
How would they get in touch with you?
So my direct number is 602-345-0495. It's on the website too. If you just dial the number that that appears there, you'll reach either one of my agents or myself. And if you also, you can reach me via the email that is on the website that also reaches me.
Well, I notice that Luis is on my other screen here. I notice that Luis, your representative, is contacting me and wanting me to have a conversation with him. So maybe we should finish this up, and I will get in touch with Luis.
Yeah, that sounds great. I can tell you that Luis, he's going to give you a great, great experience.
No Wonderful. Doubt. Well, this has been great. I really appreciate it, and I will send you a copy of Traction. And I do want to talk to you after you get it and see what your thoughts are about this whole notion of the entrepreneurial operating system and how we can help CEOs get their time back.
Yeah, sounds wonderful. I look forward to it. Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, that's a wonderful experience. It's just another example of how businesses, even in the pandemic, and in the midst of starting up with new technology, can thrive, especially in California.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.